Welcome to another daily objective. So this is the week dedicated to Dr. Leonard Peikoff. And today we continue bringing to you people who have actually met Dr. Peikoff. And we started with Yaron Brook, who has worked and met and been trained by Dr. Peikoff. Then Greg Salmieri, who has actually, we mostly focus on how he has been influenced by Dr. Peikoff in his philosophical work, although he has actually met him as well. And today with my co-host, Jonathan Honig. Hi, Jonathan. We are welcoming James Valiant. So James has met Dr. Peikoff, he's going to tell us the story. And also to mention that our members know James very well because with James every Saturday, we are doing the Leonard Peikoff courses, workshops. So we've done objections through induction. We've done last year when we had way fewer members, so probably we're going to do it at some point, understanding objectivism. We've done many, I've lost count of the courses. So James, it's a pleasure to have you here. So let's start with the first question. You hear the term, we hear the words Leonard Peikoff. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, you know, I was actually in the audience in 1983 when he delivered his course, Understanding Objectivism, for the first time live. And he asked a question. He was trying to get us out of rationalism. And so he was trying to get us to concretize our abstractions. And one of the questions he asked was, name a hero. And my hand shot up. And the first thing out of my mouth was Leonard Peikoff.
So, what did you say?
It was some laughter started by him, but also some applause in the audience. And he asked us to concretize and to use our perceptual. He was right there. But if you were to ask me, what is the word I associate most with Leonard Peikoff? Hero. He has been a hero to my life. And I think at the end of the day, he will be a hero to humanity if civilization survives.
Okay, that's sure. That's actually very significant in terms of it's. So why hero? So hero means someone who overcomes stuff and achieves something significant. So why do you think Dr. Peikoff? Why is hero the term that he?
Well, you say the first part, the difficult part. Ayn Rand was the most radical, innovative philosopher of our time, the last centuries. And her ideas were so controversial that they met with some very emotional reactions. And despite the vicious attacks on Ayn Rand and so forth, he had the patience to go through and understand meticulously and accurately Ayn Rand's revolutionary thought and to bring it to the rest of us, who also had all kinds of questions. And then you ask about his virtues. Where do I start? You know, one of my very first interactions with Dr. Peikoff was in 1985. The Jefferson School was in full swing in the 80s, giving summer conferences in San Diego. And because I was living in San Diego at the time, the Jefferson School officially asked me to greet people at the airport so I can kind of give them directions and where to go and stuff. And because I was serving that function that year, when Leonard Peikoff came, he was delivering a lecture course that year. He asked me to go with him to a supermarket to pick up supplies for the week. So there I drove with Leonard Peikoff to a supermarket, an American supermarket in La Jolla. He didn't know the area as well as I did. And I pushed a shopping cart through a supermarket with him. And it was one of my very first personal interactions with him. And two things struck me, just remarkably struck me about him as a human being. One, he knew what he wanted. Exactly. He knew why he wanted it. Nothing was careless or thoughtless or unconsidered. If you were to ask him, well, why that and why not that, he would have a reason for it. The simplest, most prosaic, ordinary values in life, he could give you. And if you asked, he could give you even a wider context for it. The other thing was that he knew what he was doing. And nothing was thoughtless about what he was doing, even in a supermarket. And I think it was probably a quality he got from Ayn Rand.
I have to say, Jim, just hearing thank you again for being with us and sharing this treasure trove of real fascinating information. Hearing some of your memories of going out with Dr. Peikoff reminds me of Dr. Peikoff telling some of his stories about going out with Miss Rand. I remember there was a story he told about seeing Miss Rand out in the world and thinking, like, here is this amazing out in the world. And, you know, a lot of us have learned from Dr. Peikoff and just all the immense values that he's provided enough for our life, my life. But you actually not only taught from him, but you worked with him.
Specifically,
very closely. So that's a unique opportunity that you've had in your studies to actually not just be a student of his, but work with him on a project.
I would really love to get to Ideas in Action and the Passion of Ayn Rand's Critics, because I got a chance to really work with, and those seminars, the pre-OPAR seminars that I was so privileged to take part in. But in that supermarket, the other quality, because, you know, knowing what he wanted so rationally, it was only one part of it, and that was relatively straightforward, because he could tell you exactly what he wanted and why. The rest of the time, and you want to really get my first impression of him, in that supermarket was how playful and childlike and joyous the man is. I was struck by the sheer benevolent innocence. And when I mean childlike, I don't mean that he didn't like dirty jokes, because I told him a few dirty jokes in my time that he liked, or at least had a sexual theme to them and were at least tasteful. But he loves to joke around. He loves, and everything for him is an innocent adventure. If he doesn't know something, he will mine your information about it and think about it. He struck me that night as perhaps just this pure vessel of honesty. And that's the best way I have of describing him. Sincerity incarnate. And that blew me away. Previous people who I'd met who knew Ayn Rand, see, I'd met Nathaniel Brandon, I'd met Barbara Brandon, I'd met Murray Rothbard. Nathaniel Brandon struck me as pompous and pretentious. Barbara Brandon struck me as an airhead emotionalist, you know, out to lunch half the time, frankly, and not in focus. Murray Rothbard was filled with resentment and envy and anger. I could tell the bitterness just exuded from him. Leonard Peikoff was nothing but open to any question you would ask, any subject you wanted to talk about, and it was you, him, and reality. No pretense, no pompous attitude. It was just the honest, sincere quest for the truth, and that blew me away, simply blew me away.
James, let me ask a question here, because people who wouldn't know Dr. Peikoff, or who wouldn't know people who knew him, they would say, wait a minute, that's not the picture I have of Leonard Peikoff. Isn't he the guy who was very, very harsh in Schisms, for example, the guy who wrote Facts and Value, and or the guy in later conflicts, let's say, within the movement that he was very decisive? So some people would not be able to distinguish, let's say, this ideological rigidity, for a lack of a better word, to the person that you are describing. So why is there no contradiction between the two?
Oh, he is the opposite of rigid. He is open to every new idea. But once he's considered a subject thoroughly, once he knows he has the required information and he's properly chewed it, digested it, and integrated it, then he has a clear, he's as simple as can be to understand that way. He has a clear and often very emotional and direct response. Yes. If he doesn't like something, he can be very plain and straightforward. Yeah, that is. There were a couple of times where he chided me quite directly. And believe me, to me, it was I was grateful for it. Grateful for it when he did that. But he does not like conflict. He agonized over conflict. He does not like that at all, personally. If he could have avoided all that, he would have love to have avoided all that. He is at heart a benevolent lover of life, a simple, childlike in his benevolence. Truly, that is my impression of him. And that's the way he normally is.
And how old were, James, how old were you in ballpark in the early 80s? Because, you know, I think of Dr. Peikoff's story, to me, just his story, forget all of his work, his story is so inspiring about how he went to New York, met Rand, you know, ultimately moved to New York, followed her. I believe his father wanted him to be a doctor, and he basically said, right, no, I'm moving to... So Dr. Peikoff's story is really inspiring. He got in the door, and, you know, there's so much to say, but, you know, tell us a little bit about your story, because you were probably You were a young man in the early 80s.
Oh, I was 20. I turned 20 years old in the year 1983 when I first met Dr. Peikoff. I was studying.
So you were around the same age that he met Miss Ring.
Pretty much. Slightly older. I was messed up. I'd already read, you know, sure, I was a fan of Ayn Rand. I'd read Ayn Rand's books. I'd read all kinds of related stuff. But I wasn't limited to Peikoff and the correct understanding of objectivism. I was messed up by these critics of Ayn Rand, by the Brandons, by libertarians, by Rothbard. And it took Leonard Peikoff to straighten my head out about what the meaning of objectivism really was. And that started with understanding objectivism. He really answered my questions, my doubts about objectivism starting then. And so I started attending the Jefferson School summer conferences, and I got to know a bunch of what an exciting experience that was. All the people I met. But of all the people I met and studied with, he was head and shoulders above the rest. In 1987, I went to the Ford Hall Forum and saw him deliver my 30 years with Ayn Rand live. And I attended a reception afterwards. And then I wrote for a college newspaper, I wrote a negative review of Hayek's Fatal Conceit. I think that got to his attention. And I think the combination of things got me an invitation to participate in the seminars he was giving on Saturday nights at his home in Laguna prior to the publication of Objectivism, the Philosophy of Ayn Rand, getting comments chapter by chapter and being able to give, you know, ask questions and make comments about it.
So can I ask some details about that? So how did it look like? So what time would you gather? Would it be food? What would the atmosphere? For some reason, I don't know. I'm very curious about these small details.
Oh, well, you know, the group was all a fascinating, diverse group, as we've discussed before. You know, you have medical doctors, scientists, businessmen, myself, I was a prosecutor at the time, as well as philosophy PhDs, as well as occasionally Harry Binswanger would participate. So it was just an exciting thing. And when we were going over it, they were all recorded sessions. But I would arrive early and usually first before anyone else. But that was okay because sometimes I would help, you know, Leonard or Cynthia set up for the evening. But most of the time, and I'm sure Kira doesn't even remember this, when she was just a little toddler, I'd interact with, you know, play with his daughter Kira before this began. Sometimes if it went late, there'd be something to be, in fact, most of the time, he would serve a snack and coffee, at, you know, in the course of the evening because they'd go on. Some of those sessions would go on rather long. But that was, outside of reading Atlas Shrugged, that experience with Dr. Peikoff was maybe the most intellectually exciting and vibrant time of my life. My real questions about objectivism could really be answered in that. But you could also see all kinds of things. He interrupted one Saturday night. We skipped the chapter we were supposed to cover because that's when he'd finished writing his response to David Kelly, you know, Fact and Value. And he was angry. He was not a happy camper. But it was clear that his anger was justified. You know, and he asks questions afterwards if anyone has any questions. And I somehow had the temerity to raise my hand and ask a technical philosophical point. But he then instantly got into that philosophical point, answered it thoroughly, brilliantly that night, with incredible clarity. And once his anger was over, and that was that. He was that way. He very much was that way. The chances we had to interact with one another there were wonderful too. I got a chance to talk about poetry with him. I think I helped inspire his later class on poetry. I announced with some chutzpah that I thought I had the objective definition of poetry. And he said, "Oh yeah, Jim." And he got me into a corner. He asked me about it. And when it was all done, he gave me one of the deepest compliments of my life. He said, "Can I steal that definition from you, Jim?" I said, "Sure, please go ahead." And a couple of years later, in his introduction to Anthem, I recognized my own language when he was discussing Ayn Rand's language with the definition of poetry. And a modified version of my definition is the definition he used in his course on poetry. So I feel, you know, completely, the compliments I got from him are some of the most profound compliments I ever got from anyone, maybe the most. In 1997, he came to a wedding party reception for me and my wife, we've been married now for 25 years. And what he did when he got there to my mother's home where the party was going on was to corner my parents and to ask them what they did right in producing me. I was completely floored as my parents tried to give Leonard this explanation for what they did to help create me. So, no.
Let me ask then one a bit more selfish question. So sure. From the point of view of someone who wants to, you know, produce intellectual content and all that stuff, and at the time, and you still are, but at the time you were relatively fresh in this. You hadn't written your books yet. So if you could concretize in simple terms, what would be the lessons you got from Dr. Peikoff in terms of your own process of thinking and later of writing? So how did you change? Oh, yes, it was a beautiful memory and all that stuff, but how would you say you changed as an intellectual by working close to Dr. Peikoff?
Well, I worked after the seminars and so forth. In 1995, my wife and I produced a television show, and I'm proud to say an award-winning television show called Ideas in Action, which was an in-depth interview with Leonard Peikoff that we did at his home. One of the most dramatic experiences of being at his home, and I tell you, it's an emotionally overwhelming experience, was the art he had. I know it's not a direct answer to your question, but the sculpture and the art and the Capoletti's and the Frank O'Connor's and just the way he organized.
Is that available, Jim? Is that series available? Because, you know, I know Dr. Peikoff, in his own words, is a documentary about him that is hard to find. Is that work out there?
It was available back in the days of VHS tape for purchase, and a lot of people bought it, but we still have yet to adapt it to disc form so that it's now available. We're going through the process of thinking through that through now.
Please do so, yeah.
Yeah, let's get a GoFundMe going for that.
It was an exciting interview at his home. He played piano for us. We focused on his art and why he liked the art in his home. We talked about his relationship with Ayn Rand. It was a terrific interview. And he couldn't have been easier to work with or more cooperative to work with. But we had hours more material than we could actually edit down. And so he basically put us in charge of the editing process. We showed him the product and he was extremely pleased with it. Working with him on that was extremely easy, smooth as glass, but just working with him on the questions and working with him on the answers gave me an insight into communication. Obviously, it was his courses. Obviously, it was those seminars in his home that taught me how to think. I mean, I credit him with nothing less than that, Nikos. He, I studied logic, I studied rhetoric at college, but nothing
is it safe to say that, and first of all, thank you to all the super chat contributions, Gail, appreciating your great stories, James. I second that, third that, and Nikos does too. Hugh James, thank you for your contribution. You know, we're out there talking sense on the mainstream channels. Thank you for that. Christopher, Marilene, is it okay, James, to say that Miss Rand created objectivism and Dr. Peikoff, I don't know, formalize it? Is that okay to say? I mean, I feel like Dr. Peikoff explained so much of it, to me at least.
There were two things he did that I don't think, if it was just Ayn Rand's work, I couldn't have gotten the full value out of Ayn Rand's work from. He penetrated into Ayn Rand's method, her approach, her psychoepistemology, what gave her the insights, the power to have all these insights, and in the process taught me how to think. Nothing short of that. I mean, outside of Aristotle, I would say that Leonard Peikoff had a far greater impact on my reasoning ability, the way I process information. Working on The Passion of Ayn Rand's Critics, I worked much closer with him as an editor. We were integrating the unpublished Ayn Rand notes on Nathaniel Brandon into that book. And I wanted to publish it in a raw form, but I'd also written a great deal of text myself. And so I went to his home because the notes then had not yet been fully documented to be turned over to the archive. So I had to actually go from Ayn Rand's raw notes that were still kept in boxes in storage and brought to his office. So I worked at his office doing that. And then I worked with him as sort of an editor, editing advice.
Can I ask something on this, James? And sorry again to interrupt you, but so many questions. So Dr. Peikoff has said that he didn't have the energy, to put it in like simple terms, or the will to read Barbara Brandon's book, because he knew that it was an accurate and all that stuff. What was his attitude towards your attempt to, let's say, bring a different point of view and a point of view that, in his view, was closer to the truth?
Well, in 1987, he had said he was never going to read the Brandons' biographies and that they were beneath contempt for him. He knew those people and knew them to be liars and dishonest, and so they had no epistemological status for him. And so, given that strong negative denunciation of the Brandons, when I did publish, it was first published on the internet, part one of my book, a critique of Barbara Brandon's biography, The Passion of Ayn Rand. It was in serialized form, published on a website in the internet in 1999-2000. I did not inform him. I knew him at the time, but I did not tell him I was doing this, and I just went ahead and published my critique of Barbara Brandon on the internet. I didn't know how he'd react, but one day we got a call, and I came home from the district attorney's office from work that evening, and my wife said, "This is a call you're going to want to respond to. Leonard just called." So, oh, here it comes. I pick up the phone. "Hey, Leonard, how you doing?" He said, "Jim, why didn't you tell me you wrote this critique of Barbara Brandon? I really like it." I said, "Well, thank you. I didn't know how you'd react to anyone even doing her, you know, I." Still in my head, these libertarian lies, this cult nonsense was in my head, still somehow affecting my head. Peacock was like, "No, of course not. Do you think you could use Ayn Rand's notes on this?" "Yeah, I think I could." So when I went up there and I looked at the notes, I obviously it demonstrated, not only did it confirm much of what I said, it gave me a whole raft of new information telling me how right I was, and I didn't realize how right I was. And when I did that and I presented it to Dr. Peikoff that way, he did read the notes. He did suddenly look at Ayn Rand's own notes on the subject. He was blown away. He was blown away at how it demonstrated what he and I had already concluded about the matter.
I just feel like you've also, Jim, you've done, you know, Dr. Peikoff, and I think objectivism a real service in that you have definitively set the record straight on the role of the Brandons in the kind of the history of the movement, if you will, up against all of their decades and decades of lies and misrepresentations and assumptions by the libertarians as well. So thank you for the record for doing that. And people should absolutely look at the book over your left-hand shoulder, The Passions of Ayn Rand's Critics, which you wrote with Dr. Peikoff's blessing and his notes.
Oh my gosh. And the editing process, Nikos, that's what really was big. That was my first book. And when I know he was trained in writing and editing by Ayn Rand herself. And I got an echo of that when he helped me edit The Passion of Ayn Rand's Critics. I learned more about effective written communication from that experience than I can possibly describe. Brilliant editorial advice, brilliant communication advice. I mean, knock it out of the park in terms of being clear. And when he would, you know, there were a couple of times he was like, "Oh, Jim, no, that was really, you really got to change that. You stopped, you know, instead, it didn't make me feel insecure or wow, how did I screw up?" It made me really want to know how I screwed up and why. And he could explain it in such precision and detail. I've never forgotten that experience. He helped train me to be the writer and communicator I am today, to the extent I am a decent communicator. I owe a great deal of that to Dr. Peikoff.
So the joke is that every time that Dr. Peikoff had a public speaking engagement, the first question from the audience is, when is Atlas Shrugged becoming a TV series? My question to you basically every month is, when is The Passion of Ayn Rand Critics, when is it going to be available again? Because as I told you, in Europe, it's difficult to find it.
It is, and the used copies are expensive. The, you know, I went to a completely independent publisher, and we had great success with it. They did a beautiful edition of it, and our book was the one book that he was really keeping that publisher going, but he folded. It wasn't a result of my book. The publishing house just folded, and so it went out of print. But Fred Weiss, this year, and I have agreed to come out with a new edition of The Passion of Ayn Rand's Critics. We hope it'll come out sometime next year. The earlier the better, in all formats.
Next basketball season or next calendar year, like 2022?
In 2022, I fear, I have to write, I want to write an updated preface because new biographies relying on the Brandons have come out since, and I want to indicate how their reliance on the Brandons has not improved Ayn Rand biography. Once I'm the holding up factor. Once I'm done with my preface, it goes to print, and hopefully sometime 2022.
Please, I'm going to quickly go back.
I'm looking forward to this book, definitely.
Thank you.
Quickly go back to something that you mentioned, Jim, and again, thinking all of our super chatters. I mean, you're helping us bring these memories to us, preserve these memories. You know, we're all learning, we're all students of objectivism. So, Jim is graciously giving us his time, and we're helping to kind of keep these memories alive, if you will, so that we can learn and be part of this community for many, many years to come. Jim, you mentioned your recollections of Dr. Peikoff being very funny. And, what's my experience of learning from him was not even so much from his books. People are talking about on the Super Chat of Opar is so influential and amazing, but his years and years of podcasts, which I always thought were such gold, tremendous gold. And I would wait those 2 weeks for those podcasts to come out. And they're still out there. They're an absolute gold. And he solicited not highfalutin philosophy questions, but everyday questions, should I leave my wife? Should I get with this girl? And really, he's hilarious in them. And I recommend Barry Wood's translation of a lot of his the questions, but just go and listen to some of his podcasts as well, because Jim, you get the sense that, I don't know if I want to say the real Dr. Peikoff, but he was often at ease and very funny and just so joyous in those podcasts. They're such a delight to listen to.
The joy of simple living, everything. When you eat a meal with Leonard Peikoff, you are focused on that meal and you're savoring the enjoyment of it and every aspect of it. The way he delivers himself, when you listen to music with Dr. Peikoff, you are delivered over to the music. Somehow your focus is on it. Sure, there'll be time to discuss it afterwards. Most importantly, when you're discussing a philosophical issue with him, he is not distracted by the philosophical errors of the past. He is looking at reality with you, honestly, sincerely. It's you, me, and reality, Jim. Let's figure this out. And there's no thought that's evil to think. We're going to consider everything. There's no subject that's off limits.
Can you think of an example, James? Because this sounds very fascinating. Can you think of an example of this tendency that you mean?
Oh, how many examples could I give of my confusions and how he sorted it out? If I would present to him a simple problem, I would come to him. I was working at the DA's office as a prosecutor, and I would come to him with, maybe sort of a moral or ethical dilemma question. He would, the funny thing is I was expecting him to sort of repair to some principle from Atlas Shrugged or The Virtue of Selfishness. This will answer our question. No. No, he went straight to the facts. He went right to the simple, direct analysis from the facts so that I could understand it. And then he would make sure that I didn't have any lingering questions. And then he would bring up objections, of course, that I hadn't even thought of that I might think of the next day. And he said, "Had you thought of that, Jim?" It was you, him, and reality. And it was nothing but our sincere perception of the truth. I was blown away. I've never known, like I say, a vessel of such pure sincerity and honesty in that sense in my whole life.
So many of the lecture courses, I always say, I really wish I would have had. I mean, Nikos, you're a fantastic professor. I've heard you lecture, but I know you'd agree that Dr. Peikoff as a lecturer is just so masterful. I mean, he's like, it's like watching a Picasso or someone really,
virtuoso.
It's virtuoso, a genius at work in front of a classroom.
I have had the most amazing teachers. I had in high school a teacher who inspired me to go to study history. I had emotionally great literature teachers. My dad, he's a computer scientist and engineer, but he's also a brilliant math teacher. That guy not only tutors math, but he taught me as a kid math. I studied Austrian economics from people like Israel Kirzner and Mario Rizzo at NYU. I had some of the best teachers that you person could possibly have, other objectivist teachers that you could possibly imagine. Dr. Peikoff is head and shoulders the best teacher I have ever had. period, end of report. He motivates you. He keeps you interested. He uses humor. But more than that, and far more importantly than that, he reduces the subject to the facts of reality in a way you can grasp. He integrates the idea with the other ideas of objectivism in a way that you can see, my God, how it connects and how powerful it is. And then he shows you the cash value of it. Every lecture I attend with Dr. Peikoff is a lesson, not only in the topic, but in how to talk. And he would always make himself the foil. He would always put himself in the, you know, I didn't know, and this was my mistake, and I was a rationalist, and, you know, it absolutely astonishing, you know, the integrity of his lectures. You know, he'd give a lecture on how effective communication, he'd say, well, motivate, and then he'd give a powerful example of motivation, or he'd say, give examples, for example, and then he'd list the examples. He was this perfect integrity of what he was doing. Sometimes I would come out of the lecture and I would say, wait a minute, the lecture itself was an explication of what he was talking about. So it was in art, it's poetry, in effect. He knows how to drive a point home and have it stick with you forever.
And so many of those are available on YouTube. They're available as Four Hall Forum. You know, Dr. Peikoff, there's such an amazing wealth of material out there of his, a lot of it for free. If you want to learn objectivism, learn it from Ms. Rand and Dr. Peikoff. And there's so much out there of his teaching, exactly as Jim is talking about, for you, for us to avail ourselves the first time or once again.
I love Dr. Peikoff, and it's astonishing. I can really say that truly, because I know his benevolence. I know his honesty. You know, like I say, there was no pretense, no pompousness. It's you, him, and reality. And if you have if you tell him something he hasn't thought of before, he will stop. He will think about it. He will consider it. And I've never known such intellectual honesty in my life, honestly. Okay, and what a charming, childlike man. Just humor. And the way he loves art. Like I say, to experience the art in his home. That's what we were really wanted to do in 1995, is to bring a really good camera equipment in there and look at that art. I was overwhelmed. I could sit looking at his statues in his home just for hours and be emotionally overwhelmed by it, or the Capoletti's and Frank O'Connor paintings on his walls and be overwhelmed by it. And I wanted to bring that experience to the audience. And that's what we really tried to do with Ideas in Action.
So let's finish off with a quick answers game question. So, favorite Dr. Peikoff's book? Has to be one.
That's so unfair. In one sense, I have to say Opar. I have to say Opar. Part of me wants to say The Ominous Parallels, because it had such a powerful effect on me personally. But now that I have some perspective and back up, obviously, Opar is the book of books. It is the definitive statement of objectivism. And so to go back to an earlier question, Ayn Rand said she was a novelist, and she was writing about particular issues. It's the organization that he brought to objectivism that will be of enormous value and lasting value if our civilization is to have a future. He organized it, and for that value, I think it's the absolute best.
Jonathan, for you, is it, I understand, The Ominous Parallels?
Well, and Jim, thank you. You're hitting exactly what I hope I was trying to say before. I feel like Dr. Peikoff presented it and formalized it. He at least taught it to me, and I do love Ominous Parallels, but, you know, for me, my favorite Dr. Peikoff, I don't know, his experience, if you will, is the 1976 lecture course, which is available online.
Oh, wait, that's my next question. I also have a favorite lecture course and also favorite fall forum. So
I'll just do for that. That's my number one of Dr. Peikoff's. I mean, besides the debate, of course, which we've talked about ad infinitum, but the 76 lecture course, because it's Dr. Peikoff presenting objectivism, and then you have Ms. Rand at the end with a little bit of the Q&A. And it's fascinating. You see some of the rapport between him and them, but just whatever you read, read more Dr. Peikoff, listen to more Dr. Peikoff, check out his article and his essay about abortion that's been featured in the HuffPost and many others. So there's just such great material from him. And he's someone to celebrate this week and every week indeed.
Oh, yeah.
James, favorite course?
objective communication or understanding objectivism? Or objectivism to your doctor. Okay, those three are so far up, I have a hard time.
I would say the art of thinking, and mostly because, you know, we had the great experience of going through it with you, so it's the one that has stuck more. And final question, favorite Ford Hall Forum lecture?
Oh, my 30 years with Ayn Rand. Now, don't get me wrong, why should one act on principle? I mean, every single one of those is a picture is not an argument. Wow.
Modernism and madness for me. Jonathan?
Modernism and madness, my gosh. But you know something? My 30 years with Ayn Rand is still my favorite. Okay. I was crying in the audience. I was weeping in the audience.
Oh, you were there.
I was there live in the second row, okay. Crying my eyes out as he's delivering my 30 years with Ayn Rand.
Yeah, and, I'll just say, we're wrapping up here. We're getting a lot of great feedback. Christopher mentioning Dr. Peikoff's course on induction, Jose mentioning 8 great plays. There's so much fascinating Dr. Peikoff out there. It's just, please avail yourself of it.
There is no subject under the sun that didn't interest Dr. Peikoff. He gave me
How about the radio episode on Christmas? You can listen it in July.
Yes. Christmas should be more commercial. Christmas. Yes, I mean, just the Christmas should be more commercial idea is so... To Jim's point, it's so much cash value in terms of living your life. It totally helped turn me around. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Dr. Peikoff always talks about the cashing in, and there's so much that he's given me, I know, that helps me just enjoy life so much more. So cash in on his expertise and read more of his work and help us bring it to you here with the Ayn Rand Center UK.
Okay.
Yes.
So wrapping up, so we've read the super chats, I assume, Jonathan. So let me end with an announcement. So today at 10 p.m. UK time, we have The Cutting Edge with Lee Pearson premiering in YouTube. And the topic is, who is destroying America, the left or the right or both? And this is going to be with Robert Stubblefield discussing this topic. So there's always stuff happening in Ayn Rand Center UK, and if you appreciate the work we're doing, consider becoming a member. Membership gives you access to so many good things, one of them being the Saturday Peikoff series with James Valiant. So we go through Dr. Peikoff's series lecture by lecture with some questions that are mostly, how do I apply the main lessons of the lecture in my life, in the context of my life and how I understand the world. Tomorrow, continuing with Dr. Peikoff's celebration week, we have Don Watkins. Friday, who knows? And right, so Jonathan, are you going to be on Clubhouse?
Are you?
I can't because I have to go to another meeting.
We're going to wrap it today because Jim has been very generous with our time, and we'll thank our super chatters. And so basically we're going to be with Don tomorrow, Thursday, and then it's TBA on Friday, right, Nikos?
It's what? TBA, TBA, yes.
To be announced.
So TBA on Friday. So we'll get to that then. Thank you all. We'll see you back here tomorrow.